All right, I want you to imagine you're a snowboarder on the top of this huge mountain. There's tons of fresh powder, and you're going down, and you're solo. You're not really with the group. And as you go down, you hit a tree or this berm, and you get flipped, and you end up upside down with your head 6 feet, or however tall you are, 5 or 6 or 4 feet, 6 feet, 6.5 feet, in the snow, with your snowboard literally at the top of the snow, and that's all that's sticking out. And that's it. Like, what's going through your head when you're there? I am going to die. I'm gonna die. Because if you're on this mountain, there's no one around, and your head is 6 feet down, and your board is at the top, I mean, you got like little to no chance of anybody finding you. But then this skier is cutting through, and they're going through, and then all of a sudden they look over, and they see a bright orange snowboard on the top there, and then they stop and they circle back, and that snowboard or the skier realizes, oh, there's a snowboarder below that snowboard, 6 feet down. And what that skier does, they go and they dig out, and they eventually get to that person's face, and they can breathe. And he says, I got you, bro. And he says, thank you. This is a true story. I know some of you may have seen it. I actually saw it last night on YouTube, and I was like, dang, that's crazy, man. The snowboarder went down, was down in there and stuck and gonna die, but then a skier just happened to see top of the snowboard. And he got saved. And if you look it up, it was the skier had a camera, so he caught the whole thing on his camera. And it was pretty wild. And if you think about it, we're that snowboarder, right? Apart from Jesus, like, we're that snowboarder. And Jesus is that skier who's coming down the mountain, and he says, I see that snowboard, I'm gonna go dig you out. Because Jesus sees your life. And apart from him, man, we're in a mess. And we need Jesus. And that's what this week is all about. You know, people celebrate Christmas. Jesus is that skier who comes in the form of a baby. And he grows up and he says, man, I see humanity stuck in the snow, head down, about ready to die. And Jesus comes and he digs us out of that snow through the cross and through the resurrection. So let's get into Jesus's birth story together. We'll look at verses 26 through 28. So in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Man, this is where everything changes. Because Jesus, he changes everything. He changes history. He changes our lives. He changed the life of that snowboarder. And do you know when he came right here, when this angel showed up, actually thousands of years before that, there was the first prophecy that Jesus was going to come. So a prophecy is a word from God, either a now word about your life, like God is revealing something about your life, or it could be a future predicted word that something is coming. So y'all probably know about Adam and Eve when they messed up in the garden and they sinned and caused all sin to go in all humanity and creation. So we have all this brokenness. In Genesis 3:15, when God was confronting Adam and Eve and the serpent, God made his first prophecy that Jesus was coming in Genesis 3:15. He said, someone is going to come and you're going to strike his heel, but he's going to crush your head. And he says, that's Jesus. So from the beginning of creation, God already had this big plan of how he was going to redeem creation. And this is when time has an intersecting point that everything comes into place. It begins to be the right person, the right place, at the right time. And you think about a bigger picture, we got Elizabeth, who is Mary's relative, that she's pregnant with the son, who's going to be named John. He's part of the big plan too. How many of y'all ever encountered an angel before? Anyone? Not a lot of hands, maybe? Okay. Yeah, maybe you encountered an angel that you didn't know was an angel, because scripture says if angels will appear like humans and you won't even know it, they'll be out there helping you in different ways. So there's this top angel. So think of like a general in the military, like 4-star general, shows up. His name's Gabriel. This guy delivers messages. So he's dispatched this small village in the middle of nowhere. What's the smallest town you can think of right now? What is it? Irwindale. We know where Irwindale is. Azusa, yeah, right. So Azusa, Irwindale, for people that are like in New York, right? They're going to be like, who, what? They will have no idea. So this angel is dispatched to this little village in the middle of nowhere to a woman who, like, nobody knows who she is. But yet God begins to choose her and sends his top angel. And she's going to be married to Joseph, who's a descendant of King David. So you can see there's all these specific details that are lining up for exactly for what God wants to do. This is important because there was a prophecy about the Messiah, the one who would come to redeem and restore God's people, and he'd be descended from David. So again, it's the right people, right place, right time. And the angel shows up to tell Mary that God has this big plan, and Mary, you're the center of that plan, and you get to be part of it. So I'm going to tell you a couple fun stories about right people, right place, right time. The first one's about JR. So we did the farmer's market over here in Covina, the outreach. And you know who I met before I met JR? I met his parents. His parents came up to our table and they're like, hey, we got a son and he needs a mentor. And he's like, yeah, it's so funny. And then we've only had one person ever submit the form on our website to like contact our church. And guess who it was? JR. And everyone who knows JR is not good at email. But he submitted the form. I emailed him, and he actually emailed me back. And then we got numbers, and we met up for boba, and we hung out. And guess what happened after that hangout when I texted back? This fool ghosted me. He ghosted me for months.
Only 3 months.
So I thought, oh, that guy's out of my life. And then one day, guess what? He shows up at the park when we're over at Dalton. And guess who he knows? Tim. And it's crazy.
And my parents were like one of the first people here too. And I didn't even know JR knew you.
Yeah, and so Tim didn't even know that this was going on. You know what this is? God's big plan. Right people, right place, right time. And now JR and I, we're locked in. And we're doing life together. And he's reaching all these people as he goes. So he's having a huge impact. And with Tim, too, we'd meet up at Discipleship Monday nights. Another one of these people is Ethan. So just over a year ago, I was speaking on this church planning panel, and this guy comes up after. He starts talking to me. He's like, oh, I want to introduce you to this guy. So he gets me connected to another guy, have lunch with him. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to introduce you to this guy. So the third person in that line was Ethan. So the first time we hung out, it was virtually. And then we ended up meeting up, and actually we met up with D'Isaac. We guys came over to our house, and we prayed together. And then I had this, I was on a 3-day fast and praying in the spirit for 4 hours straight. And I got several names, and one of them was Ethan. And when I got it, I knew instantly, dude, I think God wants him to join us for a period of time to like partner up for church planting training to make disciples and multiply them. And so, and I would never have come up with this idea on my own. It wasn't even part of what I was planning. And so I like shot him a text and like we talked about it, I think on 2 or 3 occasions. And I said, pray about it, take a month. And then, you know, I said, talk to Jen because you guys are going to get married. So you got to be on the same page if you want to do this. And then he said, okay, we're in. And so it was right people, right place, right time for God's big plan.
What about Justin?
Okay, so Justin. Yeah, Jenny's like, what about Justin? Okay, so I used to do this. I used to prayer walk this neighborhood, this whole area, for months straight, just prayer walking this area. I haven't done it recently because we're at a point where we're building with what we have. And I say that, I preface it because it comes from the prayer walking because God was doing work through prayer. This guy, Justin, walks up to our table over here, and George was there. And you know, we train everyone for like building relationships with people. Casual conversation to meaningful conversation to spiritual conversation. So George is ready. He loves to ask people about people's clothes because if you look, George is fit. Like he always looks pretty good. Last week he was dressed like the 80s, and I said, George, you're dressed like the 90s this week. So George always has good fit, and George loves asking people about their clothes. So George told me later, he's like, I was going to ask him about his clothes because he likes something, and the first thing Justin says is, hey, do you guys got a Bible study? And so George is like, man, he went right to spiritual. So then George got his number and Justin joined us in the summer for Discovery Bible Study with Jenny, who came. Yeah, she found us on a Facebook ad, and we don't do Facebook ads, right? And Rich has never done any ads, so I don't know. But Jenny's like, "You're in my neighborhood. You're in my park." She's like, "I had to come see who you people were." And so then Jenny came out of the neighborhood, and the neighborhood I've been prayer walking, right? So Jenny's become, and Justin's part of our core team here, right? And we love them, and so it's just like crazy. It's crazy, like right people, right place, right time. So when all this happens, you have to imagine this. How were the angels at work to fulfill God's big plan in all these individual lives, right? Yeah, I know the squirrels running around up there dropping leaves on people. Sometimes they're parrots, but we've got squirrels today. It's good. So when you think about your life, what's God's big plan for your life? Right, and you think, well, I'm a nobody. Well, Mary wasn't nobody. That means that you're a somebody to God. He has a big plan for your life. So how do you want to join up with him? Let's look at verses 29 through 33. So this is Mary. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He will be very great and called Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." All right, so if a big old angel shows up and starts talking to you, you might be a little shaken if that's your first experience with an angel. If you've had it a lot, you might be more used to it. But you notice the angel in this whole time says, "Don't be afraid," twice. So the angel knows, like, Mary's a little shaken, disturbed, like, what is going on here? How am I supposed to understand this? But did you notice that Mary did not respond with unbelief? She responded with believing, but she had some questions, which is okay, right? So she tries to understand and figure out. And this is when the angel continues, and he speaks of her favor with God. "Mary, you found favor with God. Mary, this is why God has chosen you." And as I studied the scripture, this is why I think Mary had favor with God. And this can apply to any of us and how we can have favor with God. Mary was submitted, she was willing, and she was obedient to God. So she was submitted to God, she had a willing heart, and she was obedient. And these three things bring God's favor on your life, like we see with Mary. All right, I'm going to tell you a crazy story of my own life with an angel. So I had gone through what people call like church hurt, with that experience. I was on staff at a church, and I'll make a little side note about church hurt. I know people like get stuck on church hurt. I mean, you got church hurt, you got family hurt, you got work hurt. I mean, hurt happens, right? And you just got to forgive people, and you got to move on. You can't let that hurt just hold you back from living your life for Jesus. So I was coming out of that stuff, and I was forgiving, and sometimes, as you know, forgiveness is an event, right? And it's a process for us to work through that pain. In the church we are part of, the lead pastor had asked me to start up some training for some physical healing ministry. But I was like, "God, man, I just came out of this rough season. I don't want to be doing this stuff." So I told the lead pastor, I was like, "All right, I'm going to do a Daniel fast for 7 days. I think it was 7 days. And I was like, "I'll get back to you." So I remember one, I think it was a morning, I was in prayer in our bedroom. And I actually was in this vision. And I was in front of the church we were part of. And we had been doing some outreach there, like in the real life, but in the vision I was there, and this guy is walking up on the sidewalk, and I'm gonna touch him on his his upper chest because he needed healing. So I was gonna touch him in the vision for healing. And when I touch him in the vision, what happened in real life, in my body, outside the vision, I flew back and I hit the floor. And I was like, "Whoa." And I realized in the vision, I had touched an angel. And when I touched the angel, his power hit me. And then outside the vision, in my body, I flew back and hit the floor. And you know what that was? It was God that confirmed to me, go train people how to pray for physical healing. So he sent an angel in my time of prayer and fasting to answer my question, "Do you want me to do this?" So the angel showed up. When I touched the angel, I had a power encounter with that angel. And it literally had me hit the ground. So angels are really an important part and a role as we partner with Jesus to advance his kingdom and share the gospel, share Jesus with others. Angels are very involved in this. So notice the angel declares three things. Mary, you're going to conceive. You're going to give birth. You're going to name him Jesus. So this is really important, especially if you're a man, you might not have caught this because I had to think from a woman's perspective to get this. First, if you're trying to get pregnant, you got to conceive, right? Because sometimes people have a hard time conceiving. The next thing is you're going to give birth. So the baby's going to make it all the way through to full term, and you're going to name him Jesus. I'm going to give you his name. So if you think from a woman's perspective, it's very important to know you're going to conceive, you're going to carry that child full term, and you're going to name him. So when he gives Mary a specific word, a promise that she can hold on to as she goes through what's going to happen. These are all important because it builds faith for exactly what's going to happen. And then she goes to tell Mary this. Jesus will be very great. He'll be Son of the Most High, the throne of David. He'll reign and rule forever. So basically, the angel says, this is who Jesus is going to be. And did you notice how Mary responds? Again, with believing. So Jesus changes everything. And you may think like, oh, Jared, you're up there and maybe you've been like a Christian your whole life. You had like a nice Christian family. For me, like I wasn't part of a Christian family. My dad was an alcoholic. He was using drugs. There was domestic violence. Like I was abused by him. My life was pretty rough when I was younger. And no one had ever taken the time to tell me about Jesus. Like no one had ever done that with me. And then when I was 12, my dad left our family and he split and I'd never seen him since then. But when I was 12, I had so much pain in my heart, I wanted to take my life. And I had a plan. I told my mom about it. She took us to a church. I met with the pastor and he just sat with me at this McDonald's. And you know what happened after he sat with me? I didn't want to take my life anymore. And I kept going back to this church. I learned something I didn't know. I learned that God loved me. And that is where Jesus changed everything for me. And so Jesus can change anything. I mean, you name your situation, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual, family, like whatever it is, like what Mary did, right? She was submitted, willing, and obedient. And if you come to Jesus with your life, man, he transforms it. He takes a broken life. He takes any life, wherever it's at, and Jesus will transform you with his love and his power because he is real. Jesus is real. He's fully God and fully human, and he is alive right now, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he can change your life if you call out to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want you, man. He loves you, and he's calling out to you by name, and he wants to show you he's real because Jesus is king. So let's look at this last part here. So verse 34 to 38. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born holy, and he'll be called Son of God. What's more, your relative, Elizabeth, has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail, or nothing's impossible with God. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And then the angel left her. So again, Mary responded with belief. Hey, what you said, may it happen. Did you notice she had a very practical question though? She's like, I'm a virgin, I'm not married. How the heck am I gonna get pregnant? And he says, great question. The Spirit of God's gonna come upon you and the power of the Most High is gonna overshadow you, and this is how it's gonna happen. It's not gonna happen by human effort. It's gonna be the Holy Spirit. It's gonna be the power of God. So when God gives you a word for your life, you can ask questions. Like it's okay to ask questions. Mary's questions were rooted in belief. How's it going to happen? If you read the story prior about Zechariah had the angel came to him too and said, hey, your wife's going to get pregnant. And he says, I'm old. How's that going to happen? He was saying, I don't believe you. You know what the angel did to him? You're mute now. You can't even talk until he's born. Notice the contrast of the two hearts. One had unbelief, but one was willing to believe even though it didn't make sense. What God is saying is, I'm the God of the impossible. And God's word never fails. So how many of y'all have a word from God in your life? How many of y'all want a word from God in your life? Or more word from God? I want you to listen very carefully to this. If God has given you a word, God will fulfill that word in your life. There are some times that we need to take action. Like when God gives us a word, that's often him saying, I'm going to fulfill the word, and now your role is to steward that word. Your role is to pray through that word. Your role is to take obedient action as I lead you to fulfill that word. And you know who fulfills the word? God fulfills it. He's looking for us to partner with him with what he wants to do. Because Mary, he partnered with Mary. You know what Mary had to do to fulfill the word? She had to carry a baby for 9 months, right? And so you might have to carry your baby, your prophetic word, for a period of time before God births and fulfills that word. So don't give up. If he gives you a word for your kid, or for your family, or for a coworker, or for a neighbor, or for yourself, don't give up. If you remain in belief saying, God, I'm going to trust you, even though it doesn't look like it's possible, what did it say here? God's word will never fail. He says, I'm the God of the impossible. So think from his perspective. If God can, these mountains are beautiful. If he can create these beautiful mountains, I mean, what could he do for you, right? He can heal your body. He can restore you. He can work in the life of your kid, your grandkid. You just got to keep praying, be submitted, willing, obedient. So prophetic words are really important. So a prophetic word can be a word that you get for yourself or for someone else that you share that strengthens them, encourages them, and comforts them. And it could be predictive, meaning it could be futuristic. So I'm friends with a guy who runs an international discipleship network. They have almost 10,000 people in their discipleship network, and most of it's in the 1040 window. So that's a longitude, latitude of the earth. And it's mostly countries where Christianity will be illegal, right? Or they'll often persecute you or kill you if you're a Christian. This guy goes into these countries, and he's a white guy. He goes into these countries, and he starts these discipleship networks. Like, God's grace and favor is on his life, kind of like Mary. And when he was at 40 countries, I got a prophetic word for him. And I heard in my heart when I was praying for him, it's going to double to 80. So I called him. I told him that prophetic word. I think they're well over 60 countries now, and they're heading towards 80. And then this last month, Meredith and I were praying in the evening. We pray every night for different things depending what day of the week it is. But we were praying for him and his organization, and there's no fireworks, there's like nothing, there's no angels show up. I literally am just praying, and I pray this specific word for him that this organization would be in every country in the world. And when I prayed that out loud, I was like, Meredith, I stopped. I was like, that's a word for him. And he's on the East Coast time. So I was like, I need to text him right now so he gets it in the morning when he wakes up. So I texted him, hey, we're praying. And I felt like this organization you're leading is going to be in every country in the world. He texted me back later that morning. He said earlier that week that God had spoken that word to him. Isn't that crazy? So God had already spoken it to him individually in his own time in prayer. God gave me the same word to deliver to him. Could you imagine how encouraging and strengthening it is if you get a confirmation word from outside yourself? Then you know, like, this is from God, and God is going to fulfill it. Do you know what he needs to do to make it happen? He needs to keep going to these countries, right? He needs to keep training the leaders to go to the other surrounding countries. So just as Mary carried the baby for 9 months, he needs to carry the work, the effort to make it happen, to get into every country. But do you know who's going to get it in every country? Jesus. He's going to get his church in every country, the discipleship network. So with you, I want to invite you to be like Mary, submitted to Jesus, willing to do what he asked you to do, and then be obedient. And that's how you're going to get favor, God's favor on your life. And then it all begins with Mary. That literally changes history for all time. Because if Jesus didn't come on our behalf to live the life that we could never live without sinning against God and go on the cross willingly to die for our sins and raise from the dead, we would have no hope. We would have no hope. It would just be an endless living for ourselves, trying to make money, and then we die. And then the crazy stuff that we face in life, because I know people are older in years here, y'all been through life, and you know how hard it is when things happen in your life and your family and stuff. And maybe some of us younger people haven't been through it yet. But Jesus is probably the only one who's going to be consistent through it, that we can go to him and get on our face, and he's going to hold it together. He's going to hold us together when we go through it. And I want you guys to hear a story, too, of someone whose life was just radically transformed by Jesus. And I'm going to let her tell her story. So I'm going to invite Laura up, and Laura is going to tell you, because Jesus changes everything. And Jesus came into her life and changed everything. And I thought it'd be cool if you got to hear her story. So she's going to come up, and it's going to keep recording so those who listen later can hear it too. But yeah, Laura's going to share Jesus changed everything for her.
Hi, everyone. I'll just start with sharing a little bit about my life before I knew Jesus. Not only did I not know Jesus, God, I guess just like my childhood was kind of a rough one, and I just kind of learned early that I felt like I needed to be responsible for myself. Nobody else was going to take care of me. And so I just kind of learned like just this massive mistrust of other people, that I can't depend on other people. And so when the idea of God came into my life and was presented to me, I just wholeheartedly rejected it. I just felt like, I said, there is no God. There is no one out there looking out for me. It's me. And so I spent most of my life as a pretty hardcore atheist. Just lived my life my own way for a long time through trying to control things and better outcomes in my life. And life was really hard, just really, really hard. I had a lot of anxiety, depression. I didn't know it at the time. I was living in a lot of sin with a lot of open doors. So this all kind of came to a head recently, actually, in my life. As I got older and after I had kids, I softened a little. I said, okay, well, maybe there's a God, but I don't know who he is. I don't know what that looks like in my life. And so I just kept living my own life. 2 years ago, I went through a really dark season in my life, just a really dark season of depression. And I kind of had just reached the end of myself and all that I could do in my life. And it just felt like my life was falling apart, even though it wasn't, just internally. And it was actually in the middle of this very dark depression, in the middle of an anxiety attack, a panic attack. I just went outside into my yard and I didn't even know what I was doing. Something came over me and I just hit my knees and I just looked up to the sky and I said, okay, God, if you are real, I need to know now. Like, I need your help. I need something. I get it. I don't know what to do with my life. I obviously am not right, making the right decisions. I don't know what's best for me. I get it. I have no control. Help me. At the time, I didn't realize what I was doing, but now looking back, I realized that I had truly reached the end of myself and I had hit this moment of total surrender to God, even though I didn't know who that was at the time. And it was the turning point in my life. Little by little after that, God just started showing up, putting all the puzzle pieces together, revealing himself to me. All these coincidences started happening that were pointing me to him. And all of that just grew on itself. And it created this desire in me to read the Bible with an open mind. I'd never read the Bible before. I still wasn't sure what I believed, but reading the Bible with just like a new mindset of, okay, God, you're obviously showing me that you're kind of, there's something there, show me more of you. And going in with that mindset, he really was faithful to show me who he was. And then the ball just kept rolling. And, we're talking about right people or right timing. All of this happened at the same time that Enrich was starting. And so I wanted to find a church and see if I could learn more. And that was the same time that Enrich started. I knew Meredith through a homeschooling network. And it's just the rest is history. I accepted Jesus into my heart. I was baptized. I'm just all in. And he's healed me from anxiety disorders I've had since childhood that I've been told cannot be healed outside of medications and other avenues. I've just seen the miracles that he's done in my life. And just going from living with so much anxiety to now just having the peace of Jesus in my life is just such a transformation. That's a huge testament just in my own life. And I just really think that that moment on my knees was the moment that kind of opened the door to God, to Jesus showing me who he is, that he saw a willing heart, even though I still had questions and I still didn't understand. One of the verses, sorry if I'm going too long, one of the verses that that really struck me when I first started getting into the Bible was God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that was my situation. And so, so I guess I would just say that as an encouragement, that if you don't know who God is fully, that you can ask him and that you can surrender your life and just see how he meets you in it. And then now I just feel like he's done so much healing in my own life, relationships, old hurt, and that has just inspired me to just share him and just be on fire for him with other people, that they can do, he can do the same in their lives and more, or wherever their challenges are. So I don't know if there's anybody here who hasn't maybe fully accepted God, Jesus, into their lives. So I just wanted to give an opportunity. You're of course welcome to come up afterwards. I'm more than happy to pray with anybody or to speak to anybody about this more, but I would love to just say a prayer for everybody out there who maybe is on this cusp of either hasn't quite gotten into a relationship with Jesus, or still has questions, or there's still some sort of barrier that's keeping them from fully experiencing that. Or just anybody who maybe does know God, but desires a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus, or just a rededication. So I'll just say a quick prayer. Jesus, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for revealing yourself to me in my life and to everyone who desires to know you. Jesus, I thank you that you came here, you lived a perfect life, a life that no one could live, and that you just absorb all the weight of our sin and everything that we can't get right on our own, that we need you. And Jesus, I thank you that you've died on the cross for us and that you rose again, conquering death and sin so that we could live eternally with you. I thank you that you removed the weight of guilt and shame off of us through your sacrifice, that for all those who believe in you can gain this gift of salvation and freedom through you. Yeah, so Jesus, I just ask that you touch anybody here who wants to know you deeply. Would you come into their lives and show them how they can hand all their burdens over to you, that you want to take that weight off of them, that you want to partner with them in life, that you bring freedom to all their pain, you bring freedom to just anything that weighs on their heart, any challenges. So Jesus, I just ask that you meet them in this moment, that you soften their heart to surrender fully to you. And Jesus, I also just pray for those who do know you to just continue to grow in deeper dependency upon you, to fully surrender anything else that they're holding on to, knowing that you bring freedom to that and that your ways are greater than ours. I ask that you bless everyone here and everyone that here that knows others that are maybe on their heart to know you better. So I just pray this and ask that you bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, thanks for sharing your story and just being so transparent. I think it's really cool for us to hear the stories of others and what Jesus has done in the lives of other people. He's do the same thing with us. And today, if you're like, man, I really want to like grow in that relationship with Jesus a lot deeper, connect with Laura after or me. We're happy to chat with you. And I feel like faith is really strong this morning too. So if you want prayer for healing in your body or anything else, like before you go, a lot of people here love to pray. We'll pray for healing. So if you want that, just connect with Laura, myself after, and we'll get a couple people to pray for you if you want physical healing in your body, or if you need God to do a miracle, let us know. So let me just say a quick prayer over us as we end, finish our time. So Jesus, we're grateful this morning. We get to hear from your word and hear you speak to us and hear from Laura how you transformed her life. And we thank you that you're going to do that for anyone that's wanting that from you. We just got to call out from our hearts and say, Jesus, come in and save my life, and I need your help. Jesus, I pray you give us hearts that are submitted to you, willing and obedient, that we would find favor with you just like we did with Mary, and you would partner with us and collaborate with us as we yield to you to be part of your big plan for the lives of so many other people, right place, right time, right people, and to bring the transformation to them that you have brought to us and will bring to so many others. Jesus, as we move forward this week and get to celebrate you coming here to the earth as fully God and fully human to join us, starting off as a baby, would we have holy moments with you as we reflect on how you came and how you lived your life, and would we encounter your love and your power this week? I want to pray for people too that are seeking more of you, who are wanting more dreams or even understanding the angelic. I pray that you'd release that spirit of wisdom and revelation and increase flow of the prophetic gifting and grace upon everyone to hear your voice with greater clarity. And Holy Spirit, that you would activate right now the gift of prophecy in anybody that's wanting that deeper relationship to hear your voice. You'd activate that now. Increase the spiritual hunger and thirst to read your word, to spend time in prayer, and to share your word with other people. It's on their hearts. So Jesus, ask your protection over everyone here and over their respective loved ones and family and vehicles and property and finances, that you would be our shield and our sword. And I pray, Jesus, that you'd prepare the divine appointments that you have for us this week. And I know as we hang out with family this week, sometimes it's challenging for different people. And I know some of our college students went home and different people are traveling with family. Would you give each of us extra grace and mercy and overflowing of love as we interact with people who maybe we have some challenges with that aren't resolved yet? And would you work out forgiveness deeper in our hearts and healing and reconciliation as that's able? So Jesus, we're grateful for you. In your name, amen.